This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Absolute craziness in the college sports world, and we're going to get to some of that. It's going to be a college football darty. We are less than 20 minutes now away from catching up with your president of baseball operations for the Texas Rangers, Chris Young. The CY Show every Monday here on the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And we love you, CY. Can't wait to talk to him. Rangers off today. So you got full five on the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Eric Schiaffalo, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman running your video, and you, Gavin Dawson, on assignment. He's coaching for the next 3 days. So send him some well wishes on social. Big night as well for the Dallas Wings, fellas. They got the WNBA draft. Paige Becker's expected to be the number one overall pick, but today she did sign a three-year deal with Unrivaled. Becker's unrivaled deal after 1 year is expected to exceed her entire projected four-year WNBA rookie salary. That is crazy.
For 10 weeks.
That is unbelievable.
10 weeks of, so I guess over the course of a three-year deal, you're talking about 30 weeks worth of work. It doesn't coincide with the WNBA season, so there's no conflictions there from a scheduling standpoint.
Yeah, because we saw a lot. Like, I think
Angel Reese.
Yeah, a lot of the WNBA players were doing that. Caitlin Clark did not.
I know.
She took some time off.
And I guess, obviously, to each their own. She's making plenty of money with endorsements and things like that. So I guess she just made the decision she didn't need to. But that would have been a pretty easy half a mil or whatever it is. So I'm kind of surprised that she punted on that, but I understand Paige Becker's because she's gonna make get drafted number one overall and make like $80K a season.
That's crazy, man. And I guess the collective bargaining agreement in the WNBA, I think it's got one more year left, so maybe they end up doing something about that. We'll see. But a huge night for Dallas when it comes to the WNBA. But let's talk some of this college football stuff that's been going on, Eric. I did just see the video that you guys were watching during the break. Vice President J.D. Vance dropping the college football national championship trophy.
He fumbled it right there in front of.
Very awkward.
That thing's a big trophy, too. That thing tumbled.
There's a flimsy nature to the trophy, though.
The thing
we're being
fell
honest.
Off the like, base.
Yeah, is it not? Do we not glue that on? Or
It's not bolted together.
I thought
together.
It would be like welded on there.
That's just poor construction.
They used to have just the crystal ball, right?
The crystal ball.
So he ends up having to present it
like he's got the base.
Without the base of it on there because
they can't put it back on. They're just like, all right, screw the base.
Gosh,
that thing fell hard too. The base of that thing, landed on
amazing.
A toe or something, that would have hurt.
It hit the deck pretty good.
That is hilarious.
That thing's got to be dented.
Ohio State is being honored at the White House today for being natty champs. And isn't J.D. Vance an Ohio guy?
He is an Ohio rep.
He is a Buckeye. So this was
a really proud moment
for him.
Super excited, and then it's a wanting it away.
Oh, to drop that. That is really disheartening. That is a funny visual, though. Trump's just standing there with the helmet looking around like, oh geez, what just happened? We just fumbled the trophy. We just broke the trophy. Okay, we got plenty to get to here because the Nico story out of Tennessee. Bad year to be a Nico, I would say. Certainly in sports. Nico Iamalieva, the quarterback former now of Tennessee, decides to on Friday when the team has spring ball going on just to
spring
not
spring game
just no call no show
spring game on Saturday
was the game. He was apparently at his quarterback coach's house with teammates on Wednesday night.
Everything's going fine.
They had no inkling that he was about to do some level of a holdout, and then they call his bluff. He doesn't show up to practice on Friday, and they're like, okay, what's the deal? He wants more money. Of course he does. $2.4 million wasn't going to be good enough for him, even though he was not very good at all last year by any standard, let alone a guy who's trying to parlay his previous season into more millions of dollars. And so they say, no, we're not giving you $4 million. You can go ahead and kick rocks with it. So, and salute to Tennessee for that. I love that they didn't cave to it, because I don't know how you – this is the most important position on your team and at your program. This guy cannot come in here, especially being the type of quarterback that he is. If you were one of these unbelievable – you're off a season where, you know, you've just dominated in a huge way and now you feel like you deserve more – one, don't you do that at the end of the season? You don't wait till now. I mean, that adds to the strong-arming nature of all this, because you're waiting to where the hay's in the barn in terms of what your team is supposed to look like. You're about to break camp, head into the summer, and get ready for a fall kickoff, and now you're trying to
pull the okey-doke. He thought that was leverage. Well, this is leverage. They're going to need me now.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm the last guy to be there.
Yeah.
You need me.
Yeah. You're not going to have any choice.
Nasty. It's a nasty move.
Oh, it is.
Very much so. And what I saw today, Josh Pate of CBS Sports.
Oh, we have the sound.
We do? Okay, perfect. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And this made me really dislike him anymore. In fact, he is the subject of the top 10 list today, which will be at 440, the top 10 most hated college football players of all time.
Wow.
Because he is moving up the list here.
Yeah, so it's not just that he's trying to strong arm the program into giving him more money now on the doorstep of summertime. He apparently, alongside some other teammates at Tennessee, before their playoff run, tried to do the same type of strong arming, saying, hey, we're not even going to play in the playoff game if you don't give us some more money. That wasn't reported, but it is being reported now.
A lot of the people who have been pushing for the changes that are happening in this sport, they would call them progress. I would call them just changes. A lot of the stuff they told you didn't have to worry about, a lot of the stuff they told you that wouldn't happen, it's funny how it keeps happening. These are the same people who would tell you players would never opt out of playoff games, you know? If we had more playoff games and less meaningless bowl games, then players won't opt out of playoff games. You know, that same crowd fails to mention that this past December, cats like Nico Iamaliava almost held out of playoff games because they were trying to renegotiate contracts in the middle of a playoff run. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one. But just understand, all these people who cannot take a piss without getting the front of their pants wet, that claim to know what's best for this sport and claim to be visionaries, and boy, they can type a lot of words per minute, can't they? They have not the slightest clue what's best for this sport. And so we've taken the stance on this show for the past several months that we'll just ignore them. I don't really care. I don't care if you label me anti-players' rights. I don't care. I am pro-college football.
So that is pretty alarming and pretty damning. I'm sure Tennessee wasn't the only team in the playoff that maybe had some of their guys that were trying to do something like this. To threaten to not play in the playoffs is about as crazy as it gets. You see it in, you know, players punting on meaningless bowl games all the time. But one of the things that we thought when they expanded the playoff, like, okay, that'll eliminate a lot of that,
sure,
because guys are going to want to play, especially guys that are actually starting and playing. They're going to want to play in the playoffs. But now we're living in a world where that's not necessarily true, even for a guy who wasn't even very good like Nico wasn't last year. So it's a crazy deal. And he's a grown man at this point. Like, you're an adult. You get to decide what you're going to do to some extent. And I do think a lot of this goes back to his dad, who is apparently kind of playing the agent and pulling a lot of these strings here. So between dad and whoever else is a part of his representation, they have just given him some of the worst advice you could ever fathom. Because I don't know how, if you're another program, like, I love what Tennessee did, saying thanks but no thanks, we'll call your bluff, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I know there's going to be another team out there that will welcome him in and give him some money. I don't know if they'll meet the dollar figure that he's looking for. But how can you bring a guy like that in? This is supposed to be the leader, El Capitan, and he's quitting on his team, threatening to quit before the playoffs, and now he's just done it this late in the ballgame here in the springtime. It's maddening. If I was a coach for any program, And it's easy to say from here because who knows the desperation of a coach on the hot seat that's like, man, I need a quarterback. But it's not even like he was awesome.
Yeah, former five-star recruit. And he stunk in that playoff game. 14 of 31, 104 yards in their 42-17 blowout loss to Ohio State. But right now, John Bryce of Football Scoop reporting that it doesn't seem like he's got a great transfer market. USC nor Notre Dame have shown interest in him. Texas Tech's going to stick with Baron Morton, and they've got a bunch of NIL money to throw out there. We'll see where he ends up going. I know Chapel Bill, that's been floated out there as well.
Des Bryant, I retweeted something. Des Bryant was like, listen, if I was this kid, I'd try and go to North Carolina, is what he said. Now, we'll see, you know, how that all plays out. I think a lot of this has to do with what he's seeing happen ahead of him. And I think it really goes back to if you look at the quarterback, if Carson Beck, I think he's looking at Carson Beck at $4.3 million a year and saying, okay, Carson Beck left Georgia and you can say what you want about, was it him that got them national champs? Was it, what was his situation? You know, really it wasn't. He didn't play very well, but here he gets $4.3 million from Miami. And he's kind of looking at that like, well, wait a minute, I'm a $3.1 million player, and that guy's getting that. And, you got DJ Langway at Florida. That's a $3.8 million player there. So I think he's looking at some of these guys. Garrett Nussmeier at my school, $3.6 million player. He's probably thinking, well, I got this, my team to the playoffs. These guys really haven't done that.
Which is, hey, totally
and,
fair.
And I'm talking about Langway and Nussmeier and, and he's probably looking at Bryce Underwood, who was recruited by LSU. Bryce Underwood went to Michigan. He's getting 2.9. He hadn't played a down in college.
He hasn't. But then do what Carson Beck did and enter the portal.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
Do it the right way.
In the winter.
Yes.
Not in the springtime.
Don't be trying to strong arm your
I'm
just saying
and
that.
And threatening to hold out of a playoff game.
That is sort of the going rate now. That $4 million.
I get the business side of it. Make your money, dude. Yeah. But there's a right and wrong way to go about it.
Oh, no. There's no question. But he's probably looking at those other quarterbacks and saying, wait a minute. My team got in the playoffs, because of some of the things. And he wasn't great. You're absolutely right about that. But they did get into that playoffs.
Yeah,
they're one of the 12 best teams in the country. And, so he's looking at like, I'm making, there's a guy who has not even played a down that's making just $200,000 less than me. I think that's the things he's looking. But you're right. The way he's going about it, until we get these contracts, and I think there's some coaches that came up. I forgot the coach that is at Grambling now. That he came up with the idea about how about buyouts?
Yes.
How about buyouts? If you're one of these guys and
like the coaches have.
Yeah, the coach at Grambling, God dang it, I wish I could remember his name. But he's saying, listen, I understand this kid is going to leave my program. I can't afford him. I'm going to develop him.
Mickey Joseph.
God bless Mickey Joseph. Mickey Joseph said, I can't afford to keep a guy here. And he's going to go on and play somewhere else. But you know what? You ought to give me money for taking him. There ought to be, if there's coaches buyouts, why don't we have player buyouts? You want to take one of these kids, you got to pay me to put him on your roster. And that way then I'll get money for my program and maybe I can compete. I think it's a damn good idea right there.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And look, for Nico, this is a what not to do for the other quarterbacks out there. The way that he's gone about this, because now his reputation is taking a big hit. You're threatening to hold out of a playoff game that all your team, your coaches, you've worked towards getting here, and you're like, I'm good on this. I'm going to try and strong arm the school. I mean, what's your commitment to the team, to the program, to winning? It's not a good look.
Mm-mm.
And he probably did get some bad advice. It's probably not all on him. He's probably kicking himself now. But do it the right way, like Carson Beck did. If you want to leave, if you want more money, hey, do that, man. But this whole thing has just been a bad look for him.
Yeah, and Colorado and Deion Sanders were one of the teams that were initially, it was like Oregon, Ohio State, and Colorado as the three teams that might be interested in him. I think it was actually Dan Lanning that alerted Josh Heupel in Tennessee about the fact that their quarterback was putting out feelers to places like Oregon to try and do what he's ultimately done now and make himself sort of a free
agent.
His
coach is looking out for each other then.
Yeah, I like that from Dan Lanning if that report is true, but Deion Sanders responded to the Twitter post about mentioning Colorado with him, and he said, "Not true, and God bless, we're good."
We're good.
So Deion saying thanks, but no thanks. But I think there is.
I don't want none of that bull junk on my squad.
Yeah, not playing the money games here. Not going to do that. But we'll see if Bill Belichick has the stomach for it. I can't imagine that he does to some extent. He's a guy right now that's looking to get that program off the ground, and I don't think they have a quarterback that's worth even really discussing.
We'll see if his girlfriend approves.
Yeah, we got to get to the girlfriend stuff a little bit later. We'll probably do that at 5 o'clock in the finest. But I did see 24/7 Sports has their transfer crystal ball for Nico, and it's 100% North Carolina. So maybe that is already in the works. We'll see how that unfolds.
All right, let's hear from Chris Young, your Rangers president of baseball operations. It's the CY Show coming up next here in the.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G-Bag Nation.
Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, is set to join us here in the G-Bag Nation in just a moment. Segment here in the Nation brought to you by Franklin Frankel. You can give those guys a call at 214-333-3333. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. We'll get you the Woolly Bully Top 10 list of the day coming up at 440. But right now, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore, it is Chris Young of the Texas Rangers. CY, happy Monday, man. How you doing? See why you got us?
Hey, guys, I'm well. How are you guys?
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. Obviously, tough sledding in Seattle. What is so difficult about going there? It feels like that is not a place where the Rangers go and find great success.
You know, it's been one of those things for the past several years that I really can't pinpoint exactly why. I think primarily, you know, offensively, we haven't really scored a lot of runs there. And it's hard to win when you're not scoring. So it's something we have to figure out. They're a tough team. They're in our division. We're going to go back to Seattle this year, and we're going to need to find a way to win some games there. So, you know, I don't think there's anything particular about the environment or the ballpark or the fans that our guys can't handle. It's just a matter of we really haven't found a way to win there over the last several years. And it's something that I think we need to really bear down on and start to change.
CY, what is your evaluation so far on the lineup? 5-for-26 over the weekend with runners in scoring position. I know Boach was talking about that post game yesterday. And for us, I know fans kind of live and die knee-jerk overreaction every game. But for you, like, what is a good sample size to really kind of evaluate, hey, maybe I should make some changes or just let people figure it out?
Well, there's always the balance of both. And I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, that we're fine offensively and that everything's perfect. Obviously, that's not the case. We have not performed at the level we expect to perform. And there's a lot of improvement left. That said, to have knee-jerk reactions and really making moves for the sake of making moves without real purpose, that's not going to accomplish anything either. So I think there's a balance here that we need to give it a little bit of time. You know, there's some key members of our team that just aren't off to good starts. Guys who have historically performed very, very well, who have dependable track records as successful major league players. And, you know, I'd like to think that we sit here at 9-7 and we've played, you know, in some ways some of our worst baseball. I'd like to think there's some really good baseball ahead for us. And when we start to see some positive regression from some guys who have established track records, we're gonna win a lot of games.
Hey, Chris, when you go through, like, you know, pregame routines and things like that, hitting meetings, tape, anything like that, is it something you say, okay, we believe in what we're doing, or do the coaches bring up that, hey, maybe we should change this or maybe we should change that, or is it more like, hey, we just need to stick with this a little bit longer and see how it plays out?
Well, I think when you're going well, it's easy to stick with what works, and you say we're everything's fine. Sure. And then you go through periods where maybe you're not going well, and you want to evaluate everything. And those are the times where you tend to overreact, or you tend to make irrational change, which may or may not be necessary. Oftentimes, it's not. You do the same things when you're going well, and right, you don't think twice about it. And so I think it's just a matter of guys pressing a little bit, guys not really being relaxed, you know, wanting to do too much in each at bat. And I really believe this group is going to score a lot of runs, that they're going to come together. I think back to a conversation I had last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks president of baseball operations, and they started the season as not a very good offense. And by the end of the year, they led baseball in runs scored. And I just come back to that we have very, very talented players with established track records who are going to figure this out. That said, it is our job to evaluate everything in terms of ways we can help these guys get through this and expedite the slow start. And we are doing that, from our preparation to our meetings to the work we're doing to the messaging, the philosophy. Do we need more information, less information? How do we get the best out of these guys? And so we are evaluating all of it. But I can't say that there's complete overhaul or change that's necessary. I don't think that's the case. I think there's just some subtle tweaks that we need to do. And when these guys get hot, they're going to figure it out.
Chris, you've never been a guy to make excuses for your team. And I just wonder, from my perspective, I look at it and I'm thinking, They've run into some pretty damn good pitchers here along the way to start this thing. And I'm not using it as an excuse, but it's reality. I mean, these pitchers have been pretty damn good that you guys have faced so far in some of these series.
There's no doubt, but we're going to see good pitching. This is the big leagues. You have to be good pitching. We have good pitching, and teams have found a way to beat us in seven games. And you have to be good pitching. There's no excuses. We built a team that is capable of beating good pitching. I don't think there's one hitter in that locker room that thinks that they can't go out there and beat any good pitcher on any given night. So I give our opponents their due credit. They're very, very talented, and we faced a lot of good players. That's the beauty of baseball, is on any given night, anybody can beat another team. The worst team can beat the best. That said, championship teams find a way, and you have to be good pitching. If we make it to the playoffs, we're going to have to be good pitching. That's part of baseball.
It's the Chris Young Show, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. I love that you brought up pressing. And when it comes to new players like Jake Berger and Jock Peterson, and Jock's struggling right now, 26 at-bats, he's got that hitless streak going. But how much, and you've played on a new team before, do you press to try and make an impression on a new team? And then as the president, do you talk to those guys about it, or just kind of leave them be?
Well, I leave those conversations primarily to Boach. I mean, I think what I want every player on our team to know is that we have their back, we're in their corner, we know what they're capable of, and we believe in them. And I think that's really important. And there's a time in which it becomes, you know, the performance is not on par with what we need. But right now, I think the support is very important. And Boach has done a great job. Our staff has done a great job of supporting these guys. And I know, I've been there as a player. I know how hard it is, and I know when you're underperforming, the pressure you put on yourself, the way you take it home, the way you wear it at night, you lose sleep, it kind of compounds a little bit. And you make it out to be probably worse than it truly is, honestly. I don't think any of these players feel worse than the average fan or me or anybody else. I mean, I think we all care about them. We want the best for them. But they take it home and they wear it harder than we do. And so we got to make sure that we support them and that they know that we're there and they're going to break out. I think of Jock right now and just how good he's been over the course of his career, especially last year, how good he was. And, you know, if he gets back to even close to his career norms, he's going to catch a heck of a hot wave here soon.
Now, your team is still doing a lot of things well, over 500, and got a couple of big ones coming up this week with Anaheim and L.A., but I mean, what aspect of your team right now has you most encouraged at this point?
Well, I think the pitching more or less has been very good. I think our bullpen has done a tremendous job. I've been very excited about the bullpen on the whole, the back end of the bullpen. Guys like Hobie Milner, it's just a tremendous job, and they really gave us a chance to win. What they did yesterday, coming into a bases-loaded jam with no outs in Seattle and keeping that game at 3-1, it gave us a chance, and oftentimes we're going to win that game because the bullpen did give us a chance. And so starting pitching has been very solid, and so there have been some positives there, and it's really about, you know, kind of getting the bats going. And if we get the bats going, we continue doing what we're doing on the pitching side, this team is going to be very good. So we're trying to stay patient. Know that everybody is frustrated with the lack of runs right now, but I really believe it's going to come. And if we combine that with the solid pitching we've received, I think that this team is going to have a stretch here where we're going to have, you know, potentially a 20-win month coming up.
Let's go. The 20-win month. We are here for it. CY, what about the health updates? How's Wyatt doing? What about Cody and John Gray?
Yeah, really positive on all three players. Wyatt is doing great. He's resumed some activity in the weight room, starting some baseball activity. Our anticipation is that he's going to be ready pretty close to the 10-day period, if not on the 10th day when he's eligible to come off. John Gray continues to do wonderfully. The x-rays continue to show healing in that forearm where he has the fracture. And lastly, Cody Bradford has resumed throwing and is right now playing catch pain-free. We still have a ways to go building him back up, but all three players have positive medical reports right now. We're very excited on the progress for each.
That's great news. I am curious, like, is there a point in baseball where a guy's potentially bordering on too jacked, too muscled up? I look at Wyatt Langford, he looks unbelievably impressive. I'm like, man, you pull that oblique because you got more oblique than anybody else in the business.
Look, I didn't have that problem, so I didn't have to worry about that. But Yeah, there is. We do have the balance, flexibility, mobility, and the ability to rotate with the strength component. And I think our strength and performance group does a tremendous job with that with each of our players. I think with Wyatt, it was, you know, I think the cold weather of Chicago honestly probably contributed to that more than anything. It was freezing cold. I know that the Cubs lost one of their starting pitchers for the year right after his start against us, Justin Steele. So I can't say that both injuries were solely attributed to the cold weather. However, I'd have to believe in some capacity, at least as it relates to Wyatt, that it played a role. So the hope is that it warms up here, guys stay loose, and we avoid injuries like that.
One of the most exciting things about having a healthy Jacob DeGrom is on a DeGrom day, you never know. You could show up to the ballpark and witness some history. What's your assessment on him early on so far this year?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And it's been fun having Jacob out there. I know his last outing wasn't as good as he expected it to be. However, just having him out there gives us a chance to win. We had chances to win that game and they got away from us. Jacob's such a competitor and he's only going to get better as the season goes. He's working on some things right now mechanically and the ability to locate his fastball and command the fastball the way he's accustomed to. But he's been very good and he's my anticipation is that he continues to get better.
We'll see. Why we appreciate the time as always, man. Go get him this week. We'll be pulling for you. Looking forward to next Monday.
Guys, thanks so much. We appreciate it. I'm looking forward to a good week here.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. There he goes. Your Rangers president of baseball operations, Chris Young, and the G-Bag Nation. We'll be at the Globe on Friday.
Friday.
Getting set for the Dodgers series.
Let's go.
But we got to handle Biz versus these Angels. They're starting to tick me off a little bit.
Yeah, Ron Watch.
Acting like they're kind of good.
Chill out over there, dude.
Yeah. What are we doing? All right, football's finest top of the hour. But coming up next, Walchuk, the top 10.
Yes, we've got the top 10 most disliked college football players of all time. 877-881-1053, because Volunteer fans are not loving Nico. I am a leaving right now, so we'll do that next in the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. We got the finest coming up at the top of the hour, LA Live, under an hour from now, as that will be part of our expressway presented by the on-time experts. No Rangers baseball today. So you have the G-Bag Nation going a full five here, okay? And then we'll have the fan after dark. Tomorrow night, Rangers back in action right here. It'll be a 6:30 pregame. They're back home against the Halos. Big thank you to Chris Young for joining us. About to get into our top 10. I did tease for NFL News of the Day, Michael Strahan, talking about the tush push. I will pay off on that tease here, but 877-881-1053, as it's time for the Wooly Bully Top 10. Who is your most disliked college football player of all time? And a lot of these are going to end up being probably either quarterbacks, and they're probably good players, and that's why you don't like them, because they were so darn good, you just couldn't stand them. Maybe it was a punchable face. Shout out to you, Spencer Rattler. I don't know. Whatever it might be. 877-881-1053, most disliked college football players of all time. But the tush-push conversation in the NFL, that's really, over the last month, ramped up. Are we going to end up getting it banned? Are they going to tweak the language of it? I don't know. Michael Strahan jumped on with Carmelo Anthony, and they were talking on the pod about how Michael Strahan would stop the tush push.
The tush push, I'm like, if everybody could do it effectively, they wouldn't be trying to ban it.
That's a fact.
Prime Mike,
are you saying, yo, we should try this?
Yeah, because I'm like, we can't stop it. Y'all got to figure out a way that we can do it.
How would y'all stop that?
Are you jumping over the line?
The way I would try to stop it, we'd probably get a fine.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell one of them dudes, hey, yo, when they hike it, just put your helmet right on that quarterback head. I don't care what you got to do. Just send a message. I was watching that Redeem team.
Yeah.
Kobe was like, I'm going to run through Powell's chest. And he sent a message. If you get a fine, cool, we'll take care of that for you. But if we're going to send a message. You're going to do that tush push, this might come back at you.
That's why I'm glad you out the game.
What did I say that warranted that?
It was very inspiring what you said. And it was also some scary when you really think about it. The way that they were so aggressive and physical back then. They weren't even able to play today. They was trained to kill. They looked at the 80s and the 70s where it was no rules, and the 60s where they had no teeth playing football.
They had the leather durag.
That physicality on today's line in the trenches.
It is wild. Shout out to 7 p.m. in Brooklyn for that audio. But gosh, I mean, that is the old school approach. Michael Strahan, I'd love to see him just line up for one play, try and stop that tush push right there. But it is true. I mean, you go back, you look at 70s football, like the Raiders used to be doing out there. I mean, it was a different time compared to what we're seeing today.
Well, they had a guy like Lyle Alzado or Ted Hendricks or all those guys. Yeah, they had some defensive linemen that would have
craziness.
Yeah, they would have jumped off sides or
Jack Youngblood's out there playing with a broken leg. Yeah. It was just a different time. Different time.
They actually bit the kneecaps off instead of just talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Ronnie Lott. Cut my finger off, please. I'm good. Put me back in, coach.
I think it was from this weekend I saw a quarterback in the UFL just get absolutely obliterated. It was like one of those
Eric Hippel-like?
Yeah, it was. Well, his helmet didn't go flying, but like I think he was like out cold.
Was that in the game where the coach was like, why is this player in? Who put him in?
I couldn't tell you the teams. I don't believe it was our beloved Renegades. A.K.A. the Gades. Don't believe it was the Gades.
Did the Gades win this weekend?
We could probably get...
No, I don't know if they did.
The Gades took their first L of the season.
Carter's shaking his head.
Carter is our UFL expert. He does love his Dallas Renegades. Okay, let's slide into the top 10. 877-881-1053. Most disliked college football players of all time. 214, love the dude now, but Baker at OU. And I'm with you. I couldn't stand Baker at OU
number
10. Either.
Yeah.
He was very annoying to watch.
Yeah, if you were anti-Sooner, I think so much of it goes back to how much you just hate the program. And then when you get a loud personality who's also good, like that's what I imagine this list
is. It's going to be, they're all good.
Well, they're all really good players, and every other program would love to have them, but you hate those programs, you know, that's your rival or whatever. So
Oklahoma is likely to have a couple guys in this list.
Oh, yeah. OU's going to have some.
Brian Bosworth,
that's my guy.
During my time,
the Boz.
He was so good. But so hateable is really what he was. And I mean, he was, like I said, I was playing football the same time he was. And we never played Oklahoma when I was at LSU. But you knew watching them play on a weekly basis, you're like, God dang, that's a good team. But yeah, he was out there. He was brash. He was a talker. I mean, all this. But he backed it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he played, he backed it up.
Love to play with him, but yeah, that's a pain to play against. And that definitely was a very popular answer.
Johnny Manziel on this list?
Manziel will be represented. We got Adrian Peterson coming from a Texas fan from the 817.
Tim Tebow.
On the counter of being a Texas fan, I used to hate seeing CeeDee Lamb with OU as well, 972. Yeah, Tebow's getting texted in a bunch. Yeah. RG3. Boz, as we've mentioned. Lucia, did you have any that you wanted to throw out there that you were like, I really just didn't like this guy?
For a moment there, I think half of Texas hated Joe Mixon for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fair.
You know, check the video.
Yeah, check the video.
Check the stats.
Honorable mention, we got Jameis.
So loud, too.
Jameis just on the outside looking in.
Yeah. Yeah, with the... I mean, we've learned and come to understand just how incredible Jameis is. But back then, the immaturity was a little bit through the roof. The crab leg stuff got blown way out of proportion.
Yeah.
But the standing up on the table, yelling out obscenities was, you know,
He had some look at me moments.
Sure. But it is actually fun to do this and then see where are they now and how much we like them now. I think a lot of people like Baker Mayfield now. A lot of people love Jameis Winston.
Right. And I hated Baker in college. Now I'm like, I kind of love Baker. He's turned very likable to me.
Did you guys kind of grew up with A.J. McCarron?
Oh, yeah.
Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
And Brett Musburger salivating over his girlfriend?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, young boys in Alabama pick up a football. Yeah. Look at her. Oh, geez.
We're all kind of like, how does this guy? What?
Yeah, how does he?
In a way, we all kind of hated A.J. McCarron.
And A.J. McCarron, I mean, talk about the UFL. I mean, this is a guy that's still playing, I think. Doesn't he play for the St. Louis Battlehawks, or he did?
Oh, my gosh.
As recently as last year?
That's crazy to fathom if McCarron's still getting paid.
McCarron's still be getting it done, man. Number 11 is Jimmy Clausen.
Oh, man. Mel Kiper did not put a vote in
for Jimmy.
Is
that Notre Dame, Tennessee, Jimmy Clausen?
Man.
Yeah, that's Notre Dame,
for
sure.
He rented a white stretch limousine to drive him to the College Football Hall of Fame to make an announcement as to where he would attend college.
Wow.
How crazy. I mean, this guy.
That's awesome. That's,
look at me if you've ever seen it.
Oof.
I think Josh Rosen was another guy because he was doing
the hot tub.
He had the hot tub in the dorm room or whatever. That was a funny one.
Trayvon Boykin?
TCU.
Yeah, it seemed like every other week he was getting in trouble for something.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Does Art Briles count from the 817? It's players, but yeah, you could probably college football.
He always deserves a mention when we're talking about hated college footballers.
Number 10 is Chris Sims.
Yeah.
AKA the quarterback born with the silver spoon in his mouth, never lived up to the hype at Texas. But he was given every opportunity by Mack Brown. He was just a little too plastic for a lot of fans. Oklahoma fans, though, sure loved him, writes this article.
A lot of Texas fans are talking about Michael Crabtree on the text right now.
Oh, I bet they hate Crabtree. Yeah,
Cam Newton
ripped their hearts out.
Yeah,
Cam Newton was
on this list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Number 9 is Kellen Winslow Jr.
Oh, gee.
Miami.
The soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Soldier boy.
I'm a soldier.
Wow.
After the Tennessee loss in 2003. Yeah.
Wasn't he all lubed up in a car at one point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did something.
Yo.
Like, I think he was naked and exposing himself to an old lady.
Wilding, bro.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a bizarre story. He had to be on something.
He's not one of those guys that we look back on and are like, hey, I can't believe we hated on him.
No. It got worse. It got worse with him.
No, he gave us reason to.
Terrell Pryor. We hated on Terrell Pryor. All he did was get some tattoos, bro.
Yeah.
We was
jumping
down his throat. Yeah. Oh, you got to know better, son.
Number 8 is
Dude's
Deion.
Like me telling him that, right, Lucius?
Yeah.
You got to know better. Number 8.
Hold this opportunity, man.
Deion comes in next.
Deion Sanders?
Yeah, Neon Deion. And I guess people probably just didn't like him because, you know, he was loud and
flashy.
Yeah, he's kind of set a new trend, though.
Manti Te'o's getting texted in.
Oh, come on.
We didn't hate Manti Te'o, did we?
There were people.
We felt sorry for him, didn't we?
There was a time period where we thought he was in on the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so he got a ton of hate.
There was
tells a completely different story. Now he's a sympathetic figure.
Yes.
And he's crushing. He's all over television now with the NFL Network and whatnot.
Yeah, Good Morning Football.
7 is Terrell Pryor, Lucius.
Yeah, we tore him up, man. Poor kid.
6 is Marcus Vick from Virginia Tech.
No, he earned it. He's earned it.
Yeah.
And I see photos of Michael Vick out there at Norfolk State, you know what I'm saying, getting the team together, and you see Marcus Vick in the background. And I'm saying, no, don't do this. Stop it.
Is he coaching?
Get him away from the program respectfully, bro.
He's the what not to do coach.
Oh, my God. Stay away from
Marcus. Bad example.
I just remember the middle finger incident that took place where he flipped the bird to was it the road fans or maybe his own fans?
I think it was his own fans
coming off the field or whatever.
He's got a rap sheet, dog.
He does.
Just Google isn't my kid's got. I mean, scary stuff.
Yeah,
oh, a lot of legal infractions.
Wow.
Oh my goodness!
Lot. Top 5 most disliked players in college football history. 5 is Tebow Bryan.
Oh,
I mean, he's polarizing.
I'm reading Vic's rap sheet right now.
Got him.
Yeah, rattle it off.
Do you want me to?
I would like to.
I don't know. Just look it up.
There's some wild stuff.
Yeah, just look it up. I don't want to go into it.
Some of the stuff sticks with you for life.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Don't. Yeah, just look at it.
4 is Cam Newton. You're not an Auburn fan. Yeah, probably people all don't like Cam Newton. 3, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football. 2 is Maurice Clarett.
Oh, yeah.
See, that was when he came in on a 30 visit, I was his host. And I found him
he's a good dude.
Charming. I really did.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy. Now, he is not the brightest guy.
Oh.
Well, neither am I. But so that's why I guess they paired us up.
Let's put these two idiots together.
Yeah, a couple of dumb guys talking to each other.
Hope y'all had a babysitter together.
They'll be fine.
I'll tell you what though, he was super honest about his time at Ohio State. I mean, I was driving with him back from the airport, and I was asking him questions about playing.
Because he was trying to get to the league quicker than he was supposed to.
Yeah, he fought the NCAA when they weren't ready to fight.
I guess he yelled at some assistants and school officials, and then he gets kicked out of the school. Then he tried unsuccessfully to enter the draft early.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the age thing.
He goes around talking to troubled youth now.
He does.
You got some knucklehead players on your squad?
Yeah.
Cleary's going to show up. Hey, man, don't be like me, bro.
He will. He'll show up in his Ohio State Letterman jacket, you know?
Hey, what a great college aesthetic, though. It's rare for the number 13 as a running back to be looking like a badass.
He was a badass.
He was awesome,
gosh,
dude.
He was good.
He was hard to stop, man, that freshman year, for sure.
But number 1, it is the Boz. Brian Bosworth coming in at number 1 with that slick back looking hair. The Boz was a polarizing figure courted attention and tickled people or ticked people off.
What?
Didn't tickle anybody.
Tickle
didn't
people.
Tickle anybody.
It'd be violent tickles.
He wasn't tickling. He was ticking people off. You had the mohawk.
He was tickling people was all tickling the way people. Off. It was one of the most legendary tickles of all time.
He's a true tickle master. Tickling him in the
best tickles. Elmo knows nothing on the boss.
Ice cream bee.
He's tickling in the A gap.
You had the positive steroid test, but
that was Dermeyer.
He was an absolute stud.
He was.
He was. So there's your Woolly Bully top 10 for today.
That was tickling.
It was tickling. Thank you very much. I hope everybody was as tickled as I just was. Let's go do some finest, though, shall
we? Not to the point where it's like all the way off, but it was pretty impressive. Football's finest. We do have a hated quarterback that is in the news that we're going to have to discuss. And Bill Belichick is also, he's taking shots. The pettiness is through the roof. The girlfriend stuff, this is ridiculous, too. And we got some draft stuff for the fellas next year in the nation.